Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. It's a great theme. I don't blame you for wanting to play it twice, because we have a lot of catching up to do with this theme. 5 years, 4.5 years of the old theme, I think it could do with a couple repeats. I don't think it would hurt.
Hello, everyone. We are doing our patron hangout. Yes, as Jim the Shovel, as Jim the Shovel in the chat room says, this is so much professional podcasting. After 5 years, you would think I'd be able to get this stuff right, but you know, it happens. Welcome, everybody. We have a lot to talk about today. I don't know what you guys want to talk about. We actually, we've got Jimmy waiting in the wings right now, which is great. But we had some pretty big announcements today, as we talked about on the show last night. We had Nintendo do their big console announcement. We had the teaser trailer for Red Dead Redemption released. We had more information come out about 7.1, but I don't even think we're going to talk about Warcraft today. I think we are just straight up going to talk about Nintendo first and foremost.
There was info for WoW? That completely went over my head, but that shouldn't surprise anybody today.
Well, it's so drip feedy, right?
Is like that what they're doing?
Well, you get like little bits and pieces here and there as more and more developers talk about things and as things get finalized moving into a patch. But that does not matter. We are not talking
Warcraft. You're going to have a show for that next week.
Okay. Exactly. We are talking all things Nintendo NX, which has now officially been announced and given a name. So it is the Slide?
What? No, it's the Switch.
Whatever.
Worth the slide? I guess it does slide.
Because it slides in and out, so that's...
Something stupid. I mean, they could have called it the Wii U 2, but, like, that would have got sued,
right? Yeah, it's not as stupid as it possibly could have been, but I remember, like, I looked at it, I was just like, really?
I would
prefer to just keep calling it the NX, really.
But that happens every time, and I'm not defending it, but that happens every time they get out there with a code name, because the code name exists for, you know, from 6 months in the case of the NX, for over a year where we were calling it the NX. And that happens every time when Nintendo talks about their platforms. First, it was the Revolution with the Wii, and then the Wii U is like Project Cafe. No one liked that. But it happens with every console. And just like with the Xbox One Scorpio, it's probably not going to be called the Scorpio. It's probably going to be called the Xbox One. Well, it won't be called the Xbox One Pro, but, you know.
The Xbox 2?
It'll be something, because you're shifting your brain power to be like, okay, I don't call it the NX anymore. Nintendo wants me to call it the Switch, which is a very generic term, and I can't even think of a console that's been given such a generic word attached to it.
And I feel like, and maybe this is why I wanted to call it the Slide instead of the Switch. I don't know, the Switch sounds like something, you're constantly changing, so that's good, because like you switches, you turn them on and off. But to me, when I think about switches, I don't want to think like Nintendo Switch, like switch to PlayStation or switch to Xbox. Like that's what my brain automatically goes to with Switch. Yeah. Like, oh, Nintendo? Nah, Switch.
Well, okay, maybe if Sega was doing marketing in the 90s, they would be able to take advantage of this, but we've gotten a little farther away from that. But I think that, I think, like, I agree with you, the name is, you know, the name's always going to be terrible until you've been using it for a year and you're used to it, but I think the name properly...
They have a Wii, so, I mean, if we could get past calling something the Wii, then...
You know, the Wii, exactly. Like, let's not, it would have been nice if they pulled an Xbox and said, like, the Nintendo or something. And then that ends up being, and then really what you do with the Nintendo is you just, the name will be something that we don't worry about. I think it's something that we'll get used to. And the name fits what it's actually trying to do, in that it's very, I don't know, versatile in that, not in terms of its technology, but in terms of its players' options. And a lot of those options made my hands cramp up just thinking about playing it. But
when you were playing with the one side, but sideways, and like even watching it, you're just like, these people are made to look this, to actually like make this look good. And it just looks small and uncomfortable. And like, there's no way that you would actually be able to play on those buttons.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, I've heard, you know, a lot of, like, personally, I highly doubt I will play like that when I pick up the console, because that shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. It's new Nintendo stuff. It's entering my living room. And I think that that configuration is strictly for those folks who don't want to buy multiple controllers. You and I are gamers. I'm pretty sure we're going to solve that problem by buying a bunch of pro controllers if we wanted to play with four people at once.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, that's clearly the on-the-go option, I think, is just to, you know, like, have that little screen with those little controllers, and it's, like, the on-the-go. I think they even showed it, like, on the airplane. Like, that's the kind of thing that they're thinking. If you're going to be playing with multiple people in your living room, obviously you're going to be doing so with pro controllers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think other than that little kind of hitch with those small controllers and that weird name, which I still think that it should have been the slide, obviously.
Maybe. I know. Maybe you could just call it the slide, see if it catches on.
Yeah, that's such a great idea. That Nintendo slide? Oh, so cool.
I will do my darndest to not correct you every time, because I support your way of thinking. I want to be a supportive co-host, so, like, maybe I'll correct you half and half. We'll see.
But yeah, like, other than that small little, I guess you could call it a bit of a, like, a hiccup to us, mm-hmm. I think it looks really cool. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of the ability to make it a portable console and still play, like, all of my same games to the like, there is no difference in mm-hmm. your experience or anything from the TV version to the mobile version, which is super cool. Like, I can literally pick up my Zelda game mm-hmm. and carry it with me on the go. And so I didn't actually have a PlayStation and a PSP when they did something similar, but it wasn't the same experience, right? Like, you weren't playing the console game on the portable. It was
streaming.
Different experience, and it was like, yeah.
Yeah, it would stream from your PlayStation 4 through a server, depending on where you are. If you're in the same network, it would stream directly, I think. But if you
were... Okay, so it was still the same game, though, then.
It was the same game, but it was dependent on the technology you had, your internet connection, and the type of router you had. This is one unit. You take it out of the dock, and it instantly switches, and you're able to play the same game. All the guts are in the screen, so you're not mm-hmm. worrying about, you know, there's no change in quality, because what you have in your hands is the brain of the operations. And, you know, this has been rumored and leaked and detailed since July. So it shouldn't really surprise a lot of folks who have listened to this show, because we've talked about it before. But I'm kind of excited that this is what they're going with, because as someone who owns both Nintendo platforms, handheld and console, it's really frustrating when there's all these great games coming out on 3DS, but that causes the Wii U to suffer, because, you know, they're splitting their development supplies and resources. So now that they're going to build one game for one system, and, you know, they have their smartphone stuff too, but it's interesting. And I, judging by Jim in the chat room, who's here, I'm gonna pull him in now, because he's not a console person, and I'm honestly and that's the interesting, as Val mentions in the Discord chat, by the way, if you're in Discord, hop into the one of the patron voice channels and we'll pull you in for a chat. Val is mentioning that I am a Nintendo fanboy, and yes, I am. Like, don't take my opinion too strongly, because I'm gonna say, like, this is the step I wanted Nintendo to take. But I'm more interested in what Jimmy has to say, because I know he's not a console person, and I've talked to a few people who aren't console persons, and they said that this is interesting, because it gives them that console that fills both purposes of, you know, being able to take it around while still having it connect to the TV from time to time, and you're going to play experiences that you can't get elsewhere, basically Nintendo games. So I wonder if this is the system that convinces people. You know, we don't know price. We don't know hardware. We don't know other games besides, like, the four or five they showed. And it sounds like some of those were concepts. Like, will there be a basketball game? Probably. Will there be Skyrim? It's a good chance. But we don't know, like, which version of Skyrim, although it did look mm-hmm. like the remastered version that's launching at the end of the year. So,
Jim, can you hear us?
Yes.
Cool. Oh, okay, good.
I just didn't want to interrupt Brian.
No, don't.
That's oh, come fine. On. I do it all the time.
Everyone fine. Should. It's kind of a staple of the show. So, Jimmy, I need to know, because you're a PC gamer at heart. Is this what melts your PC heart and allows you to go out and enjoy Nintendo games?
Well, the thing is, I actually own the last four Nintendo consoles and a Nintendo DS.
I'm just a terrible person that doesn't listen to my friends then. Okay.
I mean, come on. We're friends on the Wii U.
Oh, shit. You're right. But, like, if I log in, it'll probably say, I haven't played in months, and you haven't played in... And you probably played earlier than I have, but... I do remember now. Yeah, you have a Wii U.
Recently.
Oh, good. Well, then you're a better Nintendo person than I.
Well, the problem is, like, I actually think the Nintendo Switch is really cool. Mm-hmm. I think it's got a lot of good points.
You mean the slide?
Yes.
Right, the slide.
It's not
gonna do the Nintendo slide. Slide.
I'm going to make it happen. I'm determined now.
Well, I think the technology looks great. All the concepts look great. It's just going to come down to the games. That's really all it is.
Yeah, and so we saw Nintendo showed us the Zelda game, obviously, mm-hmm. which they've been touting as, you know, the flagship title on the NX now, the Switch. Corrected myself there.
Slide, what are you doing? Commit, Jocelyn.
So, I know, we're totally going to confuse anyone who's currently listening to the show. But so, yeah, they've got... The new Zelda title they showed some sort of a Mario title, which looked like a Mario 64-y type of a open world explore kind of a thing.
It's about freaking time they did another one of those.
I cannot wait.
I mean, the Wii U had other problems, but I think one of the biggest reasons that it sold so poorly is that, like, what are Nintendo's top two franchises? Mario and Zelda. No Zelda, no new, like, mainstream Mario adventure, just like the like side scrollers again, mm-hmm. which were fun, but it needed like another, you know, Mario 64, Mario Galaxy style game, and it never got that. It never got a Zelda until it's essentially obsolete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, no wonder nobody bought it. It's like, okay, Mario Kart's great, though I don't think it's as good as Mario Kart Wii, and Smash Brothers is great, but, you know, those aren't gonna just sell millions and millions of copies on their own.
Yeah, they're not the Halo.
Of course, we know their problems with getting third-party support for it, mm-hmm. which is probably partly due to their weird controller fetish.
Yeah.
Although I will say that this seems to be the least gimmicky, which is funny because the whole entire console itself is a gimmick, but it's like the least gimmicky of anything that I feel like they've done lately. Mm-hmm. It's has the ability to just be a console with a pro controller, which you couldn't really do with the Wii U. Like, so many of the games developed on the platform still use the tablet in one way or another. You could usually use a pro controller, but then, like, your inventory management was on the other screen, or, mm-hmm. you know, like, you didn't have the ability to just put the tablet away and not do anything with it. So yeah. I feel like this one, at least, like, it has the portable functionality. It has the cool controllers that slide off the sides. It, you know, but it is a console and a mobile platform all at the same time. But they've allowed you to just sit in front of your TV with a pro controller and play a game if that's what you want to do. So I'm like, Nintendo, you finally listened. You did a gimmick, but it's not one that I hate.
Yeah. Well, it's a gimmick that does things that people want and opens up new possibilities, while the gamepad, I mean, I like the concept of the gamepad, but the problem is that, like you said, there's so many requirements in games for using the gamepad that it ended up being restrictive, mm-hmm. both for the gamers and for third-party developers. This, like, the Switch's gimmicks essentially do just let you do more things, like take it mm-hmm. on the go, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's, like, just way smart. It's essentially doing what the Wii did in, like, kind of bringing a whole new thing that people haven't really seen before that actually does something cool. The mm-hmm. problem with the Wii was that, like, I think I've said before in previous Hangouts that I didn't like how they essentially tried to force motion controls into everything when it didn't necessarily enhance the experience.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I'm so glad it seems like they've no one was waving anything around in this Nintendo reveal, guys. How yes. exciting is that?
We'll see that.
Motion controls have a place, mm-hmm. but when they actually make the game better, not as essentially a requirement for playing the game.
And that's the interesting thing, though. A couple of points that people made is, like, Amiibo made an appearance in the trailer, but only as, like, figurines. They didn't actually tap into the controller. But they've confirmed that games that support Amiibo will have support on, they mentioned specifically, the Nintendo Switch Home console. So maybe it has to be connected
to the base.
It's
probably the base.
Yeah,
and that's probably where the reader is.
Yeah, and
there isn't a whole lot of space, like on the tablet for the Wii U. Mm-hmm. There's a big chunk of space there that is where you put your Amiibo, right? That's where the reader is.
Yeah, it's like so smack dab.
I feel like it doesn't have that kind of space on the actual Switch console, because like you have so many moving parts and so many things that change and change the way that they function. Because I mean, they function as a controller if you use them together. They function as individual controllers as well if you want to split it up for your friends. Like, there's just not a whole lot of space on those little side bits. Yeah. I guess the side controllers for things like an Amiibo reader. So I imagine it's probably going to be on the base.
And that'd be fine, because honestly, most of the time when you're tapping Amiibos, you're unlocking costumes or you're setting up a specific level or something. I'd be surprised if they made you like get up and do it and do that. But honestly, the other thing that you mentioned, the motion controls, they didn't show that in the trailer, and they're not confirming that it's not there. And Nintendo, that just shows Nintendo's being very smart about what they're showing. This is just the unveil of the core concept, which is switching from home to portable. And the other thing too is that they didn't even talk about whether that touch screen or whether that screen has touch functionality, which in order to support Wii U games, it would need to have some sort of touch. Well, it would have to have some sort of touch capabilities, but then, you know, the fact that you don't have the dual screens would probably screw that up anyways. So I'm pretty sure that they're just unveiling the core concept now and that they'll address those other concerns down the road. But I don't think anyone's going to be worried if it doesn't have touch, minus the developers at Blizzard who Game Informer wrote a news story about the "We See You, Mario" tweet. And it's like, oh, are they developing a game? It's like, nah, they're just being snarky. They do it all the time.
Or potentially Hearthstone being on the NX, which I could say, or the Switch.
You can call it the NX. Honestly, I think the NX is a great name, like, you know, Nintendo Experience or something. But
yeah,
they've said that that's something that they're going to talk about down the road. This is just the initial unveiling. And if you read the PR text that went out, it's like, yeah, you know, this is the original unveiling, but, you know, games it's going to launch with, specific launch titles, prices, product lineups, like packages, all that fun stuff, system specs. They're actually going to be talking about that down the road. Like, this is just the initial flood, and it's really cool to see everyone kind of receiving it so positively, because even developers, like, they had Skyrim in the trailer. Bethesda has signed on to make a game for a Nintendo console, which is the first of its kind.
When I saw that come up, I was like, what game is that? I was like, is that Skyrim? Like,
exactly.
What the hell is Skyrim doing in a Nintendo commercial? Like,
it was very refreshing to see, because honestly, that's one of my biggest frustrations with the Nintendo console, and the biggest complaint people have against me when I say I love Nintendo consoles is that, like, well, it doesn't play X, Y, and Z that I can get on every other console. And it's like, well, shit, you're right, and that's Nintendo's fault for not catering to those developers. And it seems like they've really catered to those developers by, they literally got Epic to tweet out, we are building Unreal 4 for the Switch, which is, again, something that I think Unreal 3 was supported on the Wii, but it was like it was the mobile version, very trimmed down, and wasn't very, a lot of developers didn't use it. But the fact that, and we don't know if it's Unreal 4 proper or just a version of Unreal 4, but the fact that they're out there talking about it, advertising it, that's a huge win for Nintendo, because they always suffer from third parties, and, you know, Ubisoft can only carry you so far, right? So,
yeah. If the console sells well enough to make it worth it for them, I imagine we'll see Smite on there.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic, playing Smite, although we don't know the connectivity of this thing. I don't know whether it's going to have a LTE connection, but we all have cell phones, we all have hotspots. You could easily pair your phone to the device. Who needs it to have LTE enabled? Like, we have cell phones, we have the technology, folks.
All right, I'm gonna pull Val in here because I think she's got a lot to say too.
Yeah.
Of the connectivity of this thing.
Oh no!
That sounds like Ryan. Turn down your radio.
Usually pair your phone to the device.
I'm gonna mute her for a second until she realizes that she's been pulled into the live chat.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, so I think I'm really excited about what we've seen from the Switch so far. I think it's going to be really cool. Definitely something that I know both Ryan and I are going to pick up. And I purchased the Wii really late in its development cycle. I didn't actually purchase the Wii U. Matt just had the Wii U, so I kind of inherited one when we actually when we moved in together. I just kind of ended up with one. It wasn't a conscious purchase, but I mean, outside of the remastered Nintendo, I actually haven't made any effort to play on the Wii U. So, did I say remastered Nintendo? I meant remastered Zelda.
Yeah, the Twilight Princess.
Yeah, the Twilight Princess. Yeah. So I haven't played anything else other than that, really. So, Nintendo hasn't really been high on my radar, but this is something that I look at and I'm like, you know what? If I can play some Skyrim, if I can play some new Zelda, like that's enough for me. I can justify that console purchase. Depends though, what price point we're talking, because like, I mean, if this is going to be, and obviously it doesn't have the 3D functionality that the 3DS has, but, if we're looking at, portable console prices tied to a home console price, that could end up being a little bit steep.
Well, I mean, if you look at the technology that they're using, it's a very inexpensive mobile processor. So using NVIDIA technology, they are going to be able to develop a console, and it's still one device. Like, it's still one device. So you're not going to have to worry about the price being astronomical. They'd be crazy to price it anywhere close to the PS4 Pro or Xbox One Pro. I could see them putting it at like $299 at the absolute highest. And then obviously in Canada, that'd be like $320, $350, which, you know, sucks for us. But that would be on par with the current consoles out there. If they went below $299 in the States, that would probably be like the best thing they could ever do.
But there's no way they're going to go that low.
There's no way. It's tough, right? Like, they're definitely not going to go below $200, but I could see them going between $200 and $300. Because honestly, I think that they're going to try and sell software as opposed to hardware. Because most of the time when Nintendo sells a console, they make that console a moneymaker. So it doesn't matter how much software they sell. And I think they tried to do that with the Wii U, and ultimately it failed miserably. And I think they might try it again with this console and try to sell low and sell a bunch of software, because
I don't know. I think looking at this, I think it's probably going to be like, and depending on the amount of storage that it actually has on the device, I mean, it's obvious, it's probably all going to have to be solid state storage, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we're probably going to see, I would say maybe a $299 at the lower storage and a $399 for the higher storage price points.
Yeah, I mean, the dev kits, there was a leak of specs, and the dev kits show 32 gigs, which I think is
not much at all.
It's like one game in the later half of the Wii U's life cycle. A lot of those games were getting pretty beefy. 32 gigs would be like a riot right now. That would be crazy. I could see the low end being at least 500 gigabytes. Maybe 250. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that 500 might be the high end. And then we'll get something in the 100 to 250 range for the low end, but I don't know. I think that we're looking at somewhere in and around $400, which means for us in Canada, then if you look at price points with exchange rates, then I mean, it's going to be rough.
I honestly wouldn't if they packaged it in with a game, $400 I'd be fine with, because again, it also depends on what kind of controllers they're throwing in, because they've confirmed that you're going to get the main base, the screen, the base, and the Joy-Con left and right, which are, if you're a hater on Switch, man, how could you support Joy-Con? That just seems way to left field. I do not know where they got that. But and then they call the little accessory that you clip in the Joy-Con grip, which, again, who named these things? I'm very interested to hear price. And honestly, I don't think they could go far announcing the price. Like, they got to announce the price before the end of the year.
Or at least, for sure.
I don't know. Like, you can't do pre-orders with a price. And I would assume they'd want to do pre-orders, like, Christmas time, like, before Christmas. That would be ideal. Or maybe after Christmas. I don't know. I'm not in this business, but I'm...
Well, yeah, a March release is kind of weird in terms of just timing, because Christmas is so huge, right? Like, you would think that either, you know, you're going to want people to be ordering in order to give the gift, or by the time you hit March, like, you're still recovering in a lot of cases from money that you spent at Christmas and all the rest of it. So, you know, that's the kind of the time of the year that people are saving and paying off bills and stuff and not necessarily ordering $300 to $400 worth of console.
That's a good point. No, that's a very good point. I've been told I am an unstoppable train when talking about Nintendo, and that is super true. Val, you're here. I want to hear what you have to say about
this. I have to unmute her. I just wasn't sure if she was ready. She turned down her radio yet. Okay, I'm unmuting. It's happening.
I'm unmuted?
Yeah. Yes, you're unmuted. Hey, how's it going? Hi. Welcome to the show, Val.
Hello. I was just listening to the stream at the same time, so I didn't realize that I was actually in the channel. Sorry.
That's all right. We're so glad to have you, because I'm sure you are a big Nintendo fan, so I want to hear all of your thoughts on the Switch. Yeah, I was about to call it the slide again. Damn, I am so bad with this console name.
This is the second time I watched a reaction video before coming here, and this is the second time like that the name has been a problem for someone. I don't really mind it at all.
Yeah, I find it odd, and it's probably just because like when I see what the console does, and even just the graphics in the video and stuff, when I look at that stuff, I think those things are sliding together. Slide seems like the natural title. That's what I want to call it. The Switch, I don't know, it's weird. It almost doesn't roll off the tongue like I think it should. And it's probably, I'm used to shorter console names. Like, we've got the Xbox One, we've got the PS4. They're, you know, short, compact. I don't know. For some reason, the Nintendo Switch is too, I don't know, too much.
You but say it like that.
I know I'm being nitpicky. I know that.
But that's good. If the only thing you dislike about the announcement is the name, I mean, we went through this with the Wii, and I think we all survived that, and then survived another 4 excruciatingly long years of a Nintendo console having the word Wii in it. We were very strong. We've made it. They've retired the Wii name. I think we'll make it.
Thank God. Wii! But I mean, to me, it kind of looked like a grown-up sort of Nintendo, because when you look in the commercial, all the people that are playing it are like early, like 20-somethings, maybe even 30-year-olds. We don't see any kids or any families. It doesn't seem like it's that type of console that the Wii and the Wii was. Like a console that where everybody could play it, or it was more gimmicky. This one seems more aimed toward an older public. That's the vibe I got.
Yeah, I think that is such a smart choice by Nintendo to move away from the gimmicks, to aim for the people who have money, which are the kind of like late 20s, early 30s, dual income, no kids type people who grew up on Nintendo, who want to see more Mario, who want to see more Zelda, and who have the disposable income to throw at a console right away. I know if they're going to be charging the kind of money that I think that they're going to be charging, that's not usually the kind of disposable income that families have, especially when if you're looking at a, you know, kind of family household, they probably already have either a Wii or a Wii U and are less concerned about getting the latest thing, getting the new technology. They want to be able to sit around and kind of play a simple game altogether. And you're right, Val, I don't think that that's what they're aiming for with this console. And I think that's a really good idea. I think they're finally marketing to the right crowd.
Oh, yeah. Well, just by putting Skyrim in their commercial totally shows that they're aiming for an older public, which I think is great, because I remember talking about something like that with a coworker, and she's saying, well, the Nintendo I'm getting for my house is the Nintendo that they're going to release with a bunch of old school games on it.
Yes.
I forget what the name is, but this is a console she's getting because it's the games that she remembers playing. And I see the same sort of vibe with this console because, sure, they showed Skyrim, but they showed brand new sparkly Mario. They showed brand new sparkly Zelda. And these are the games that a lot of people are nostalgic for.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's completely right. Definitely right. And Ryan, I know you were talking about it earlier. Do you remember what's the name of that console thing that they're selling? It's like, what is it, $100 or something like that for 30 classic games?
The NES Mini.
Mini, that's it.
It's not even up for pre-order yet, which has got me a little frustrated. Yeah, I want one of those so bad. I think it's $80 here in Canada.
It's $60 in the US, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And it's out actually the 11th, so in 3 weeks... you will be able to pick it up. Whether you can pre-order or not, or whether you'll be able to actually go into a store and buy it, remains to be seen, because I just have this odd feeling that the reason pre-orders haven't gone up is because Nintendo doesn't know how many they're going to have for lonely old North America. It hasn't even gone up for pre-order in the States, and that's a big contention with folks. They're very, very unhappy that they can't give Nintendo their money.
Is it just Nintendo's thing that they're not big on pre-orders? I don't know.
I mean, maybe the Amiibo thing is kind of like... really hurt them, and they want to just, you know, put it out in stores. But maybe they're just like, we don't want to do pre-orders. We're just going to have enough in stores, and you'll be able to go buy it. Yeah. I honestly don't know. But, I mean, the fact that we're mentioning that, yeah, the commercial had a lot of 20, 30-year-olds and, you know, dual-income thing, being able to buy a bunch of the accessories that could obviously come with this thing. They showed 4 or 5 different accessories in there, like the car mount and, you know, the different controllers.
I got a major Xbox controller vibe when I saw like the big controller that they designed.
Yeah, the Pro controller that came out for the Wii U is essentially just an Xbox 360 controller and works fantastically. But I don't know. Like, I agree with you guys that it looks like they're targeting like an older audience. But when I saw this trailer, it's like, I can't wait to. This is the Nintendo console I'm going to get to play with my son when he's a little bit older. And those half controllers turned on their side, I think, is the best way to train a new gamer on a controller, because they're a little more simple, and it's kind of like, you know, kids first controller type thing. You hand them an Xbox or a PS4, they can figure it out eventually, but that thing's a behemoth in comparison to what, you know, just being able to control Mario with a half controller and just have some fun. Like, I can imagine playing even some of the virtual console titles with those little half controllers. And a point someone made at work to me, and I said, like, man, that half controller looks like it's going to hurt my hands. And then they said, like, well, people play video games on their phone all the time. And, you know, even if you have the biggest phone, you're still like crumpling your hands up to hit the buttons and stuff. So, like, it's not something we haven't done before.
I don't play games like that on my phone at all.
Well, sorry, you don't, but I know a lot of people who do. And
anything that I play is like Hearthstone with like the tap and drag and point and stuff. It's not curling my hands around my phone like this.
Like a virtual controller on a game like that.
Yeah. I'm not saying it was a great example, but you're right. Like, I don't play those type of games either, and I kind of despise the virtual controllers, but... you know, I think, like I said before, I think for some people, I think the half controller is more geared towards the younger audience, because when you think about it, I don't think the three of us are gonna like take the console to a friend's place and say, hey, take these half controllers, let's all play Mario.
Hey.
I mean, maybe, but like, honestly, you're not gonna do that all the time. I don't think that's a fun, that's not why you're buying it. You're buying it to play these games with the controller of your choice. And it seems like that's the thing Nintendo's leading with, and that showing the Pro controller pretty clearly is kind of them saying, like, don't worry, we're going to give you options. You're not just going to be able to control it with this little piece of plastic thing.
Yeah, I did find a lot of those different scenes a little bit cringeworthy. I'm good. Like, I mean, the one where she's playing Mario, and then she goes to the patio, like the bar, to play with, and so she's just gonna sit there at the bar playing Mario. Like,
she was playing with her friends.
The esports. Oh man,
that one was just brutal. Like, it was interesting because it. I mean, honestly, I've never watched one of those like esports documentaries. I'm sure that's what happens. Like, they still game plan, right? And they're probably practicing on their consoles and stuff. But it's still a pretty like exaggerated look at what it's like. it's like what my parents would think, like when I explain esports, that's probably what they would say, like, oh, well, then they're, that's what they do. They have the chalkboard and they do their little, you know, their practice rounds.
It wasn't even so much that. It was the bringing your own console to play on the stage type. I don't know.
You brought your computer to Montreal DreamHack, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but then...
You didn't slam it on the ground and be like, let's do it.
When you go on the stream, though, you're playing on preset things. You're not playing on your own computer.
Well, actually, that is a thing. One thing with stuff like MOBAs, mm-hmm. they bring their own keyboards and mice, usually.
Oh, yeah, sure. So
for like that MOBA on mobile, Vainglory, they use, you know, their own phones, I believe. Because it's all about what you're used to and the comfort of it.
I guess so. I don't know. It just looked really funny to me. Especially something like the Nintendo console. I mean, this isn't keyboards and mice. This isn't your own phone. Like, all the consoles are the same. There's no reason you'd have to bring your...
I don't think it'd probably happen, but it's not the craziest thing ever.
It just made me laugh.
It's a concept in a commercial...
Yeah. It didn't look like an esport event because they were both like in like big empty rooms. There was nothing around them. No, nothing.
Well, no, but then they walked out onto the stage after their planner session.
You're right.
Yeah, they were rocking it, I think, was the idea. Yeah.
The one question I have from the video is, if I buy one of these and take it with me to the airport, am I going to meet a cute blonde there?
Probably. That's why you should buy the Switch, because you will pick up,
The only reason you'll get it.
Yes, that is the important question I have.
I mean, you know, it's funny, like, you joke about it, but I think it's not necessarily, like, just talking about new technology, but when you have a new piece of any sort of equipment and you're standing around, like that Pokemon Go thing that launched, like Brian was telling stories on the morning stream where he's walking around with the lapel and people stop him. Maybe not like, you know, blondes in the airport, but just normal people who are just curious about what this thing is. And I think that's the sense they're trying to go through, because I think portable gaming has sort of died a little bit here thanks to cell phones. And if you think about the Pokemon Go phenomenon where you're running around, it's like, oh, are you playing Pokemon Go? Yeah, I'm playing Pokemon Go. Let's go catch these guys. And I don't know. It's just an exaggerated core concept in a commercial. But yes, you will be able to pick up chicks at the airport is what Nintendo's trying to tell you.
Exactly the same thing as the hot chick on the car, and Jim totally just made the "Do you come with the car?" joke.
I don't even think he was making that joke, but I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's hey, if you know what, they're the only two people in that airport who own Switches in November, so I don't blame them for hooking up. I mean, it's like, hey, how are we gonna play multiplayer games? I know, we'll find the only other person to have one of these in November, so. I think that's what's happening.
So the other thing that we saw today was the announcement trailer, the teaser trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2. Red Dead Redemption 2, it looks pretty.
It does.
That's about all we saw was pretty sweet graphics.
Them turkeys eating that dog.
I didn't play the first one, though. I heard about it, and I heard how good it was, but I didn't play it. So I'm wondering... Will the second one be accessible to me?
Well, considering they have a couple options with the sequel. They could do a proper sequel. There's talk that it might be a prequel, in which you could totally jump in, no problem.
Because I know how it ends. Thank you, Internet, for spoiling it for me. That I know.
Yeah, it's kind of a dick.
Yeah, I know. But to me,
Just a second, guys. Is Val really crackly for anybody else, or is that just me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Well, you can always disconnect me if I really sound that bad.
I'm not going to kick you out of the call. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't audio on my end that was messing up.
I don't want to ruin the audio file. That's why I'm saying that.
Well, why don't you give us your point on Red Dead, and then we'll exchange you.
Well, yeah, just briefly, because I've heard this is like another game that was really hyped when it was really popular, and never really got it because it looked to me like a Western GTA, which is a game I was never interested in. But I am susceptible to hype. I like to look at games and try them when a lot of other people are talking about them, and since this seems like a very story-heavy game, I don't like jumping into sequels when I haven't played the first one at all.
Okay. So we'll why don't we just mute you here, and then I don't know how to do that.
discuss.
When the original one came out, not the original, but the Red Dead Redemption came out, there was a lot of talk of it being a Western Grand Theft Auto. And it certainly plays that way to a certain extent, except for the fact that there's less going on in between cities. You're out in the wild. There's more of a focus on hunting and scavenging in the Wild West. The sequel looks to uphold that with, we were talking pre-show, Jocelyn, about how there's a lot of like forestry and landscape in this trailer. And I think they're actually building this larger world for you to explore. Not just the one piece of the West which was more what we think about like John Wayne West, but more like a good portion of the West.
Sorry, yeah, I was just trying to troubleshoot Discord at the same time as listen, which is tough. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't finish the first Red Dead either. And there is a lot to this that makes it look bigger and like there's more to it. And I don't know if that means it is going to be a prequel or it's going to be a sequel or prequel. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Pre-sequel.
Pre-sequel, yeah. But I don't know. I think it looks pretty cool. I wish they'd given us, and I know it's just a teaser, but I feel like it's close enough. It's, what, a year away? So
yeah,
I wish we'd gotten something. Just a little bit.
Well, I don't know why they're hanging on to the fact that like the story, like not telling us exactly what's, you know, where is the setting, are these new characters, just give us that sort of tidbit, right? Like, and I find it weird launching on the same day as the Switch, where people were kind of like, okay, this is great, but I have all these questions. Then Red Dead Redemption 2 gets unveiled and it's like, oh my god, Red Dead Redemption 2. It's like, it looks pretty, I'm sure it'll be a fantastic game, but it's a story-based game first and foremost, and I kind of want to know what we're dealing with here. Is this a new story? Are they just trying to like string us along until the next trailer comes out? And then, you know, there's talk that, you know, PlayStation came out and said that they're doing a big partnership with Rockstar, and yeah, so probably at PlayStation Experience we'll get another trailer that maybe sheds some light on what the hell is going on. But we do know it's in the West and it's gonna look cool, and I mean, that's good enough for me, but I find it weird no one's calling them on their shit except for saying, like, this is a short trailer.
Well, you know that a lot of people are always a lot harder on Nintendo than they are on anything else.
Oh, I know.
I think, yeah. So, I mean,
250 episodes to prove that. I'm joking. But, you know, it's like the whole Blizzard thing. We've talked about this before, where Blizzard unveils something. And I'm not going to say the show or the host, but I was just listening to a podcast where someone, like, said, oh, Paladins is this huge ripoff. I played it. It's fun, but still, it's a ripoff. It's like, really? Like, that's a little strong. Like,
that's Scott Johnson on Rally Point.
Okay, well, come on. I don't want to throw Scott under the bus. But it was actually the instance. But okay. So we mentioned on two podcasts then. but, you know.
I consider it an accomplishment that Scott was willing to at least grudgingly admit that he had fun.
Yeah, exactly. And anyways, I don't know where I was going with that. But honestly, I think that, you know, I think shit should be said about this trailer and that it's short. There's no real, like, story to it. and, you know, except for, like, a guy who says something ominous in front of a guy talking about a fire or seeing a fire or something. Like, I'm excited. I want to play it. It looks fantastic. But I need to know, I want to know what the story is. You know, I want to know what we're looking at. Like, the fact that there's more landscape than just like the Wild West is kind of intriguing to me. I don't know. I'm the type of gamer that just wants to know a little bit more. I felt the same way when they kind of unveiled Zelda in the fashion of like, here's a bunch of landscape. And even today they unveiled a bunch of new trailers for it, but it was just like system trailers, no story again. And that's why I play Zelda, for the story. First and foremost, and then, you know, gameplay second. So that I'm still missing that point. So not to give Nintendo like too much credit today, they kind of dropped the ball on that one. But I don't know, I'm excited for it. It looks really good. But I have not finished Red Dead Redemption like you two, so
Yeah, and the internet actually hasn't spoiled it for me. So I feel like I need to go get spoiled, because there's, you know, very little chance that I'm actually going to go play through all of Red Dead Redemption now. Mm-hmm. But I am looking forward to the new one, because I think, like we discussed on the podcast yesterday, I'm just excited about upgraded graphics, updated gameplay. You know, hopefully it's not the clunky skin over the GTA engine, or which it kind of seemed to be. So I feel like Red Dead Redemption 2 might be a real good chance for me to get into the franchise in a way I didn't get into the first one. Mm. So I'm excited. And like I said, the graphics did look amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
I was actually throwing a theory out there that they delayed the unveil so long and put it right after the Switch, that like, oh, maybe we're going to get like a Switch logo at the end of the trailer. But no such luck. And, you know, Take-Two is listed on the supported, the publishers supporting the Switch, but that might have been a bit too much for the internet to handle in one day. so we'll see. There's talk, like, I know a lot of folks are upset that this thing isn't coming to PC, hasn't been announced for PC yet. Usually how Take-Two and Rockstar does their stick is kind of like announce it for the core consoles, and then once those have sold, they kind of like, okay, now we're going to do PC. Well, PC. I think with GTA 5, it was also the next gen consoles that they announced afterwards as well. So, you know, there's still a chance. We'll see how it goes. But could you imagine playing that game portable? Like, that would be fantastic.
That would be pretty cool, because if I remember Red Dead correctly, there was a lot of like travel time. I feel like there was a lot of riding back and forth between the two same places, and there was like a lot of what felt like little daily repeatable type thingies. Am I remembering Red Dead wrong?
In the Discord, Val says horsey, lots of horsey.
There's lots of horses. You were running around on horses. Like the early part of the game, you were literally a rancher. Lots of obviously shooting and taking out bad guys. But I think as the game progresses, you became more of like a sheriff type, in dispatching bad folks in whatever way you saw fit. But in the start, as you were introduced to all the mechanics, it was more like a Wild West type scenario. I actually started playing it again on the Xbox One through backwards compatibility, because I never actually owned the game. And I think this is going to be the catalyst to get me back into it, just at least to get that taste of Western. Because honestly, besides Westworld, there's not a whole lot of like Western-themed content to devour. Like, you've got Red Dead Redemption, Westworld, and I guess like Magnificent Seven, but I didn't see it.
Outlaws.
What's Outlaws?
It is a first person shooter from like 1997.
Current content. Come on. Yeah.
LucasArts made it. Used like the Dark Forces 2 engine. It's actually it's a really, really great game. It was a great multiplayer game back in the day. But yes, it is obviously extraordinarily dated now. I still do play it once in a while.
That's cool. Well, if
they ever put Red Dead Redemption on PC, I'll play it.
I think that ship has maybe sailed, unless they unveil like an HD version, which was the other reason I stopped playing, just in case they like paired it.
You weren't wrong when you said I'm definitely by far a PC gamer at heart, and always have been. And I find playing first person shoot or any kind of shooter aiming thing on a controller to be a fairly miserable experience that I don't want to spend the time to actually get good at. So
yeah,
it's like you're gonna be able to play the original on PC through the PlayStation, whatever the hell they're calling it.
Oh, Now service. Yeah, now, the streaming service.
But of course, it's still gonna require using the controller. They're not updating the game to do like key bindings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think. I think there's a strong possibility that the sequel launches on PC, considering Grand Theft Auto V did so well on PC. It's actually the top 4 or 5 games being played on Steam right now, still a high contender. Whenever it goes on sale, that's the other thing they do. Whenever it goes on sale, they don't actually make the game go on sale. They bring the game down, but they make you buy a bunch of like online credits. And that's how so they don't discount the game. They just say, hey, when you buy it, you're going to get a bunch of these credits that are worth X amount of dollars. So it's kind of smart on them, but that's why that game's been doing so well, is just it never technically goes on sale.
Mm.
So I don't know. I think you'll be able to play Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC, but it will be probably early 2018 when it launches on PC. So you got quite a while to wait for that experience, but I'm sure it'll be worth it, because honestly, could you imagine that game with mods? That would be amazing.
Oh my god, that'd be so good.
I think eventually
they'll put all the naked Western brothel prostitutes.
You can make Westworld. You can make Westworld.
Yeah, I was going to say that is going to literally be the first mod that anyone makes, because that's what they always do. So
that's the first mod for every game ever launches, is let's make the nude mod. Okay, we've done that. Now let's improve the quest systems. I don't know. Like, we made everyone naked. All right, we've done it, everybody. We've played God and made everyone naked. Now let's improve this waypoint.
Val is saying, I have a dirty mind. It's not me. It's the internet. It's the modding community. It's not me. Val also had a question saying, what is there to do in Destiny once you've beaten the Taken King? That's a Ryan question.
Buy the Iron Horde Rise, or Rise of the Iron, or whatever the hell they called it. I already forgot what that expansion's called.
I think it's called Rise of Iron.
Yeah. So buy Rise of Iron, play it for 5 hours, be disappointed it's not as good as Taken King, and then stop playing Destiny. or you could wait. You could wait until Destiny 2 comes out. Honestly, I haven't touched Destiny since I've kind of beat the main stuff in Rise of Iron. I'm sure it's still okay, and a lot of people are enjoying it, and the people who love that game are excited to have content. But it's just not as good as Taken King. It didn't add as much for us casual folks, but it's $40. Like, if you want more Destiny, like, Rise of Iron is what it is, and you know, if you don't want to wait for Destiny 2, that's a good way to extend your playtime in that game, and you've already invested this much, might as well.
Might as well.
Am I crazy to think that the fact that they're just going to release a new game, essentially, of an MMO so soon is kind of crazy?
It's not as soon as you... Like, this is the thing. Like, it's a game that was sort of hampered technologically by the fact that they released it on previous generation consoles and current generation consoles. And when they dropped that for Rise of Iron, you could tell that there was some work that they did in that expansion that was an improvement on what they probably couldn't do on previous gen consoles. So I think that was holding back the team. And that's the main reason, and as Val is saying, they pushed back 2 and released Rise of Iron. 2 was actually supposed to come out this fall, but they delayed it a year. And, you know, I think there's going to be some contentions among the player base. Like, there's talk that you'll have to start a new character, and that you'll have all new worlds and new quests and new quest systems. So there's talk that they might just scrap everything entirely, ignore the last 3 years, and start fresh with quote-unquote Destiny 2. But I honestly think it's just a developer saying, you know what, we can't handle this system anymore. We need to start over, or this problem is just going to continue to persist.
That's a good point. I guess I'm just thinking, you know, of course, traditionally MMOs have always been just PC things, so of course you don't have those restrictions. It's much easier just to keep it updated.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's tougher to do on the console unless you just, you know, sell an expansion, but really they're downloading a whole new game. It's probably easier. Like, this is the thing. When you design a product, that product continues to exist unless you, like, scrap it and start something new. So with WoW, they had a really good product to start with, and it's evolved a lot over the last 11 years, but that base game is still there.
Well, yeah, but that's what they did basically with Warlords of Draenor, and that's why everyone hated it so much from a player perspective, was because they did a lot of back-end development. They changed a lot of things from an actual gameplay perspective. That's why we didn't get as much, because we got new character models. We got a whole new, like, background database modeling for how it pulled information about stuff and enabled a whole lot of new systems that we didn't have before and we couldn't have before because the base game was what it was and it was old. And so, like, we got all of this back end stuff, but that didn't really translate to better player experience because there was no content. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, it comes at a cost. So either you do a WoW 2 or a Destiny 2, or you push out an update like that and people are really disappointed in your content for a couple of years.
Yeah, and that's a big issue that Destiny and Bungie have been dealing with, and the fact that I think with Destiny, they had to hit the reset button because the PS3 and Xbox 360 was holding them back so much, and you would have had to really do a cleanup job. Like, you know, the PC... When you look at the PC
is a little more flexible, that's true.
Exactly. And you're the base system that you're building with is very similar, you know, in very predictable in terms of parts. When it comes to consoles, shifting from the PS3 to the PS4, you're going from a complex cell processor to basically a PC. You know, they, mm-hmm. they made those new consoles very flexible and easier for developers to work with because they're basically PC components. And I think the 360 was a power PC or something anyways. I it may sound like I know what I'm talking about, but really I don't. But I know just enough to get by until I admit that I don't know what I'm talking about. And the illusion just goes out the window. But I think that's essentially the issue.
I think you make a fairly good argument for essentially re-releasing Destiny just based on the fact that it's, I mean, it's been successful, but there's been, you know, a lot of complaints. I don't think the user base is really stuck there for the most part, except for when new content comes out. So it's not, I mean, if you essentially shut down WoW right now and did WoW 2, then that would still get a lot of criticism because you're taking what's still a very successful game and saying, oh yeah, you got to start over and buy this new thing. With Destiny, you're going to have some people upset, but a lot of people are probably going to be, I mean, kind of like Ryan is. It's like, yeah, might as well just start again. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, and it's because there isn't like 10 years of your life invested in Destiny.
That's also true.
Yeah, I think the game has, as Val is saying in the chat room, the user base is strong and it's very passionate, but I think there aren't enough there to really cause an uprising. Like if WoW scrapped and came back with a new engine and dropped everything previous, like basically hit the big reset button, you'd have a lot of angry folks. You know, there's angry folks right now that they don't have a WoW vanilla server. So could you imagine if they hit the reset button on the game? It'd be chaos. But I think Destiny 2 kind of wiping it and starting over, and also console gamers are used to that. So it's not like you're living in a PC world where people, if you read the Destiny subreddit after they leaked what Destiny 2 was going to be and what it was going to do to the base game, most of the console gamers are like, cool, I'm used to this. Like, usually our experience, like maybe there'll be some sort of connectivity of characters moving over or whatnot, but console gamers are used to starting fresh. But I think most of the PC gamers in the subreddit were like, what the hell? Flip table, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. But I think it would be a mistake for them to not have some way to get at least some sort of like, even like maybe just a cosmetic reward if you were a Destiny player.
Oh, they'll do that for sure. Yeah.
Definitely got to do something.
They will. Bungie's very good at rewarding the players that have been with them the longest. And they've implemented, it's basically called, I think, the Triumphs. So every year when you get closer to a new piece of content, they actually have this record book that is now in game, but solely existed as a website before, where it tracks all of your accomplishments, like whether you finished the main quest, whether you finished the raid on hard, and based on that, those numbers and that data existing on a server, they could easily pull that stuff and bring it over. I just don't think they're going to be like, hey, you're going to bring you may be able to bring your character over and what he or she looks like, but you're not going to have the same armor. They're going to strip you of your armor. They're going to strip you of your guns and basically give you a nude mod, but built into the game, I think is what we're trying to say. So do we have any other questions in the chat room?
Cause we're, I don't see anything else, and we've pretty much hit our time limit for our patron hangout this month. So thank you guys.
I just wanted to say that Thumper is a really awesome game.
Oh, it is.
That's
it's so
I've
good.
Been lately.
I've been hearing so many people, and I've watched videos like just the trailers and stuff. And I don't know.
It's a rhythm game. It's super good.
Yeah.
You need to get Matt to buy it, so then you can play it.
Yes, make Matt buy it. I'll send you a link, Jocelyn. I'll send you a link.
I've seen a link. I've seen the game. I've seen it. It's recommended to me on Steam too, and so many people are talking about it. It's not that I'm not aware of the game. It just doesn't look like it's my jam.
Yeah, it might not be. It's extremely fast paced, very reflexy. I mean, it's right up my alley with like the sound and the visuals and stuff like that, and the type of game. I love rhythm games, even though this is an odd rhythm game essentially, because you're not really like I mean, you're kind of doing stuff to the beat,
yeah,
but you don't really know it until you're actually getting to it. There's the thing that's on the beat. It's not like the notes in Guitar Hero or Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah, it reminds me of Rock Band Blitz a little bit, in that it's a rhythm game on a controller, but it's more like an endless runner, where you have to, you know, make sure that you push these combinations of button to dodge this specific obstacle, and those obstacles change as you go forward. And yeah, it's a lot of fun and totally worth checking out. As a $20 experience, it's nice to stop playing WoW every once in a while and play something that's completely and utterly different and easy to just, like, sit back and relax and play.
Well, not relax.
Not relax. I'm only at level 2, Jimmy. Relax,
play that. Okay.
I hear it's, once I get to 5. It's
very, very hard.
And I see in the chat room we're talking about VR. I do have a Rift to check it out on, but I don't think they've added VR support just yet. They've talked about it being available on PlayStation VR, and they are adding Oculus and Vive support before the end of the year. So I will definitely check it out in VR. That will be a trip.
And if you have a chance, play it on like really high volume on computer speakers, if you have good speakers.
Oh, I don't, but we'll test out those speakers.
Yeah, because my downstairs neighbor moved out, and the guy next door isn't home in the afternoon. I think he's still at work, so I just cranked it up really loud, really high bass, because I have good speakers that are like 16 years old and still going strong. It's kind of crazy, but it was amazing.
Cool. No, I need right, to get guys, farther.
Yeah. So that is Thumper. You can buy it. Is it PC only, or is it
PC and PlayStation 4, but I don't know if it's exclusive to the VR on that. So I doubt it.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys should go check it out. Just because it's not my jam doesn't mean it might not be yours. So check it out over on Steam. It's an indie title, right? So it's only like, I think I saw it for like 15 or 20 bucks.
Yeah, it's 20 bucks.
$20, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, go and check it out. Thank you so much, Val and Jim, for joining us on this Patron Hangout episode of The Gamers Inn. We had a really good Nintendo discussion, really good RDR discussion. So yeah, thanks for joining us. We literally could not do these hangouts without you guys. So that's going to do it for us tonight. If you guys want to go and join us and help or come on the next Patron Hangout, I need to stop taking cold medicine. I just want to get better already. This is ridiculous. You can do that at patreon.com/thegamersin. I wanted to remind everybody that if you have been looking for a good excuse to come and help us out over on Patreon, then October is the month to do it, because we are actually donating all of our Patreon funds to our Extra Life campaign. We are doing our Extra Life stream on twitch.tv/amovetv on October 29th. So make sure you guys tune in, donate. And if you can't donate, that is totally fine. Just remember to spread the word by using the link bit.ly/TGI2016. That's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. And we will see you next Wednesday. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.